somebody is saying, I'm puzzling over how my wisdom realizing emptiness appears as Tara's body, or can it appear as anything? Shouldn't the object of that wisdom be emptiness? In which case, shouldn't emptiness be what appears? Okay? So, yes, when you realize emptiness, okay, emptiness is the object. Yeah. What we're, and our level of understanding emptiness is, you know, I don't even know if it's a correct assumption yet, but, you know, kind of getting there. But the idea behind this, yeah, is that according to highest yoga tantra, there's an extremely subtle mind and an extremely subtle wind that are one nature. And in the path to Buddhahood, as you're able to access this extremely subtle mind and wind, which are one nature, yeah, then the gross mind and wind's absorbed, and then you use this extremely subtle mind and wind, and that is what manifests as the Dharmakaya, the mind of the Buddha, and the Rupakaya, the form body of the Buddha. Okay? So the idea here is that, you know, you're thinking of your wisdom and the subtle energy of the subtle wind that is one nature with it, and the wind is actually what's manifesting as the body. Now, of course, this is Kriya Tantra, so it doesn't have this exact explanation, but if you understand highest yoga tantra, you can kind of understand this better. So the idea isn't, you know, you don't want to get hung up here as, you know, well, wisdom is a mental factor, and it's a consciousness, and it doesn't have form. How can it appear as Tara's body? You know, because that's right, yeah. But here we're thinking on the level of an extremely subtle mind and wind energy that are one nature. Okay, and so that appears as Tara's body. Okay, so the idea, and that's why it appears as a body of light. It doesn't appear as this kind of body. Because this kind of body is not one nature with our gross mind. Yeah, they're completely different natures. Okay? So, and the reason that you're doing this in seeing your wisdom appear as Tara's, as yourself in the form of Tara, is that you're trying to see the two truths at the same time. So, when somebody is in meditative equipoise on emptiness, then emptiness is the only thing that appears. And only the Buddha has the ability to see the two truths directly at the same time. But here, by thinking that that wisdom appears as a form, you're also training yourself to, you know, at least get the idea into your mind about seeing the two truths simultaneously. Okay, because that's what we want to be able to do at the time of Buddhahood. And then, in addition, okay, when you label I on the deity's body, what's the basis of designation of the label I? It's not this body, is it? And it's not our gross mind, because those things are shed, you know? Well, this whole other discussion. Anyway, they're shed. They aren't what transforms into you know, the Dharmakaya and the Rupakaya, according to Tantra. So, what's the basis of designation of a Buddha? Okay, it's this extremely subtle mind-wind that, you know, in which the body-mind are inseparable. Yeah, so that's the basis of designation. So, you're thinking of that. When you appear as Tara, you know, you don't think of this, you know, this body has become Tara. Yeah, this body's not going to become Tara. I heard somebody once say, you know, oh, you practice and practice, and then you look down, and one day, and your body's the deity. No, that's not correct. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So, you know, this is, this is what we're doing. Now, somebody could come back and this thing is, but I thought we're supposed to be training to see everybody as deities, so why shouldn't I be able to look at my body and see it as the deity's body? We're training seeing everybody as deities on the mental level. That doesn't mean that with our eye consciousness we see them as the deity. It means that with the mental consciousness we're regarding them as the deity and ourselves as the deity. And this is done for a specific purpose. It's in order to not get involved in afflictions. Because if you think of somebody as a deity or think of yourself as a deity, then that whole self-judgmental mind, that whole critical mind, all those things can't happen because you've changed the object. It's the deity, not an ordinary person. So you're doing that for a specific reason, but it doesn't mean that with your eye consciousness you see people as deities, or with your mental consciousness you're so convinced that they're deities that you say, well, I don't have any need of bodhicitta because they're already enlightened. Okay? So it's very important to understand the context in which all these different practices happen. Otherwise, you can get really turned around and quite confused. Okay, is that making some sense to you? Okay. Yeah?
Yeah, for the instructor in Krav, how does that relate to what you said about the self-mind?
Okay, so the indestructible drop is a drop at our heart. There's a gross one and a subtle one. Okay, the gross one contains elements from our mother and father, you know, and it came about when we were conceived. And so when the winds, yeah, and the minds that ride on them are dissolving at the time of death, and that's why a person is losing touch with the outer world, okay, they're all dissolving into that indestructible drop. And then the actual time of death is when the consciousness leaves that drop.